Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation is from our gospel lesson today, Mark chapter 10, where we hear this rich young ruler ask Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This is our text. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I think that is a very good question. I think that question is at the very heart and soul of our text for today. And I will even stipulate that that question may be the most important question ever asked in the whole wide world. If you think about it, the Bible was written to answer this exact question that this rich young ruler puts before Jesus today. In fact, if you take a look at John chapter 20, you'll see exactly why the book of John was written. John writes in verse 30 and 31 of John 20, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that were not written in this book, but these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." If only this rich young ruler would have had the book of John, he would have known exactly how to get to heaven. The problem is that John's not written for another 30, 40, 50 years. And so this rich young ruler does the best thing he can. He goes to the best source at his disposal. He goes to Jesus and asks the question. The thing is, if you put this question under a microscope, you'll see that there are many, many problems with this question. First off, the very first two words out of this guy's mouth are totally inaccurate. He addresses Jesus as good teacher. In fact, in our very short text for today, he calls Jesus teacher twice. And you do have to know that Jesus is referred to as teacher no less than 12 times in the book of Mark. But Jesus, as we know, is more than a good teacher. We know that he is God Almighty. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the creator of the whole entire world. He is our Savior and Redeemer. He is all of that and even more. It is not good enough to think of Jesus as a good teacher. Believing that Jesus is a good teacher will not get you into heaven. You need to know that Jesus is the Savior of the whole entire world, the Savior who died on the cross for your sins. That, my friends, will get you into heaven. The next word I want you to look at is the word I. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Obviously, this gentleman here never read Martin Luther's Small Catechism, where in the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, Martin Luther writes, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Savior, but the Holy Spirit who has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts and sanctified and kept me in the one true faith." So it's not us. There is nothing that we can do. We are totally sinners. We have no standing before God. We deserve nothing but God's wrath and eternal punishment. So to think that we can do something to contribute to our salvation is totally wrong. And you know what? The guy kind of knows it because he eludes it with the next word that I want to look at. The next word that I want to look at is the word inherit. Again, his question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, inheritance, by definition, is something that you do nothing to gain. Inheritance is totally out of your control. Usually inheritance comes from being born into a family, and you do nothing to aid in that. So while he asks what he can do, he also understands that eternal life is an inheritance from our Lord. And then Jesus goes on to point him to the commandments. And what's interesting, if you take a look at that real carefully, you'll notice that Jesus omits the first three commandments. He has nothing in there about this gentleman and his relationship with God, but he jumps right to the commandments that deal with his neighbor. And so Jesus lays out those last seven commandments, even if they're not numbered in the right order. He says, do not murder, which is commandment number 5. Do not commit adultery, number 6. Do not steal, number 7. Do not bear false witness, number 8. Do not defraud, which I think covers our coveting commandments, numbers 9 and 10. And then he says, honor your father and mother, and goes all the way back to commandment number 4. And the man replies, teacher, there's that word again. Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. Really? Has he really? I mean, we know that we are all sinners. Maybe we've kept the letter of the law and we haven't actually committed murder, but none of us is able to keep the spirit of the law. Refraining from being angry at our neighbor ever? Refraining from hurting our neighbor in some other way? No, we've broken those commandments. We are sinners. That's all there is to it. But even with this in mind, do you see what Jesus does next? Jesus, looking at him, loved him. I think that's very significant. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And I know, you know, John 3:16 says that God loved the world. And 1 John, we're told that God is love. But rarely in the Gospels does it state that Jesus himself loved someone. There's something very special in this man. Jesus sees into his heart and he loves him. And so in order to work out faith in him, in order to develop that relationship between him and this man, Jesus tells him that he needs to do just one small little thing. Just one little thing. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then the text tells us that he was disheartened by the saying. In Greek, that comes out darker. It says, darkened by the word. Can you imagine that? Darkened by the word, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, you and I know, as good Lutherans, selling everything isn't going to get you into heaven. I don't care if you're Bill Gates and you give all your money away. It's not going to get you into heaven. Eternal life is all about relationships, having a personal relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to develop with this guy. He's trying to get him to enter eternal life by having a relationship with Jesus. And you notice that the text doesn't tell us what happens to this guy. It just says he went away, darkened by the word and sorrowful. But you know what? Dr. Frequencher from the Fort Wayne Seminary says that this guy in our text could be, maybe. We're not sure, we don't know for sure, but it could be Mark, the author of the gospel itself. And so he wouldn't explain what would happen to the guy because everybody that he was writing to would know what happened to him, that he went on to be a follower of Jesus. That he went on to let Peter into the high priest's court so that he could deny Jesus three times. So that he could be at the arrest of Jesus and run away with just nothing on. That he ended up being a disciple of Jesus because Jesus told him to go and sell everything that he had. Jesus loved him and told him what he needed to hear so that his relationship with God could be developed more and more. It would have taken a while to sink in, but it looks like it indeed sinked in. One of the other interesting about this text is that this text shows up in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in each of these cases, it shows up after the story of the children coming to Jesus to be held by him. The disciples rebuke him, get rid of them. And then Jesus responds, he says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter into it." And I think that idea was put there purposely by Mark so that it would show the contrast between the faith of those children and this young man who went away disheartened and sorrowful. The two completely contrast each other. The children of this text have no status in society, and yet they love Jesus, and Jesus loved them. They trusted in Jesus and wanted to be near him, but this man, he had very high status in society with him being a rich young ruler. And yes, our text says that Jesus loved him. But this man needed to learn how to be a child before God. Sometimes that's the exact same lesson that we need to learn. How do we become a child before God? And as I said, it's all about relationships. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created us to be in a relationship with him. He is our creator, and we are his handiwork. He wants us to be in relationship with him so much that he sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for all of our sins. And so Jesus came here to atone for our sins. Jesus came here to make us at one with God again. And so what we see in our text for today is that Jesus spoke to that man, possibly Mark, the way he did, because he wanted him to come to faith and to have a relationship with Jesus. And so God does the same thing for us. He comes to us in his word and in his sacraments so that we can have a relationship with him, so that we have faith in him. And so what I think this text is telling us is, as adults, take all of those doubts, all of those fears, all of those things that we have in our head as adults, and put them away and become a child and just have the faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ like a child, because that is the way to inherit eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.